Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's joining us right now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's the NFL insider for CBS Sports. He's Mr. Jason Lockhanfora.
He is limelight.
I don't know about that. I mean, I like Rush, but I don't want to give the impression that like Rush is my favorite band or anything. I hope I haven't misrepresented myself. I've only seen Rush like twice live and not since high school.
And well worth it. And I bet you
No. I mean, it was the first time I saw him was the Roll the Bones tour, I believe.
Oh, well, you got into it late.
Opening up for them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I listened to him when I was younger, but like got into him more in high school. And so I was in high school in 88 to 92.
See,
so, yeah.
more in the same boat. That's because I've heard you sing YYZ and you know every word to it. It's awesome.
No.
Very good at that song.
Not me.
So you're Myles Garrett and you're going to go and plead your case tomorrow, Jason. What can you possibly say to help your cause?
I mean, you would elaborate on anything and everything that took place that maybe was or wasn't captured on video or audio that you think can lend itself to explaining your mindset and kind of why you lost your mind. Was there something said? Did some of these sort of grabs or lashings out land in a certain spot? Was he fearful that, you know, basically he was being sort of, jumped, you know what I mean, at a certain point, and there's people holding him and people hitting him, and, you know, it's not a fair fight. You answer every question, you try to be as honest as you can be, and you come forward with a statement that will, you know, try to get the appeals judge to have some better understanding of why you did the sort of unspeakable thing you did. I don't know that anything will, you know, warrant him playing football again this year. But this is everyone's entitled to their due process. And, you know, a suspension of this length, you absolutely should appeal it. You never know what can happen. And you present your case. But, you know, there is some irrefutable video evidence that I just think that, you know, I'm talking to Troy Vincent about the whole situation at length. He came right out and said, Jason, this was an easy one, man. I got to tell you, like, we can't have that in our game. We can't do anything that remotely looks like we're condoning that, or we're not being as strict as possible in the face of that. And that is an act of violence. It's ugly. It's not football. We can't have it.
Do you think the league's handled this right? Like, as we were listening to what the commissioner said on Friday morning, less than 24 hours after the fact, and he had said that, I mean, he made it sound like Myles Garrett wasn't even going to get to talk to the league office till the end of the season. Well, they've decided they'll talk this week, and the rush to judgment was swift and severe.
Well, they have to hand down something in real time, right? I mean, there's another slate of games about to be played, and they start the investigation. There's obviously four key components. And again, I detail all this on CBSSports.com on Sunday. So the first thing is, okay, let's look at these four individuals who clearly have done the most drastic actions and determine who we believe should be taken off the field for a while. Because once someone is determined to be taken off the field for a while, there's roster ramifications, right? And
right.
Especially in the case of the Browns, where you're talking about, you know, multiple defensive linemen, they may have to sign somebody from their practice squad. They may have to sign a street free agent. So the first 24 hours after this was spent diving down as deep as they could on these four sort of primary, you know, people of interest or whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
And three of them got suspended and one didn't. Personally, do I think they could have given Mason Rudolph a game? I do. They decided to look at his actions a little bit differently, in part because of the original hit and is he protecting himself, And, you know, Troy told me he may be fined multiple times, one for the face mask and one for anything else that once they went back on video again, you know, they felt like was a finable offense and an incident of unsportsmanlike conduct, that they would be willing to fine him multiple times. They didn't feel like that the actions of the quarterback rose to a suspendable offense. Myles Garrett, they looked at as incredibly egregious and something so violent. And again, you're looking at the action, not the result, right? The action is wildly swinging a helmet at a young man's cranium. Now, he happened to hit him with the one part of the helmet that's padded, you know, the area that's foam in the back of the helmet that's sort of protecting the brain stem and where the, you know, where your neck meets the hair, your hairline, you know, in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Had he hit him with any other part of that helmet, we may be, you know, this may be a criminal case. You know, there may be district attorneys involved and not the head of football operations for the NFL. And that's a factor that they have to look at as well. It's not the result, it's the action. And this action to them was menacing and violent and beyond the pale. So he's going to sit for the year if we have our way, and we'll see what, you know, the appeals officers say. But I think what the commissioner was getting to is what Troy told me as well. If he sits for the year, like, they want him to get his stuff in order, and then after the season, you know what I mean, Troy wants to spend a lot of time with him, spend a day with him, talk it out again, you know what I mean, see how he's doing now, impart some more things to him, you know, and try to open a line of communication to keep this from happening again. Because one thing everybody's in agreement on is that the Myles Garrett who started lashing out on the football field this year is not, no one knew that Myles Garrett. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't,
right.
The league didn't know that Myles Garrett during the combine, you know, at the combine. The league didn't know that Myles Garrett through what he did in college. The league didn't know that Myles Garrett through the way he comported himself the first 2 years in the league. So I think part of this is also trying to get at, why have you gone from a guy who wasn't on our radar to a frequent offender?
Jason Lockenfora joining us, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Have the Browns become, in the eyes of folks around the NFL, the modern-day Oakland Raiders?
I don't know. I mean, I think it does this continue. You know what I mean? Do they play the Steelers in 2 weeks and it's a bloodbath and it's a bounty game and people are, you know, throwing punches and kicking each other? I think that, you know, I don't know if the sample size is big enough to say that yet. I mean, I think if you're, you know, talking about the hallmarks of the 2019 Browns and you're doing bullet points, one of those first three bullet points is most penalized, least disciplined team in the league, right? I mean, I don't know if it's the first bullet point. Yeah. Maybe it is.
Has to be.
But it's pretty far up there. I mean, again, it started week one. You know what I mean? And then I was willing to kind of talk to people in the organization and say, yes, okay, you know, this is the exact thing that Freddie Kitchens have been railing against the entire offseason, and this is why they ran laps anytime there was any sort of incident, you know, at camp or in practice that would, you know, went too far, and I'm not, we refuse to practice penalties and all that. So, okay, maybe it's not in their DNA, but I mean, we're 3/4 of the way through the season now, and it's been one thing after the next, and it's undermined their ability to win football games. So, like, that's out there, but I don't know that that's, you know, who they have to be forever, and I don't know that's who they'll be the last 6 weeks of the season, but to this point, that's what they look like.
All right, Chase, this is a deep thinker question. You ready for this one?
Nice.
I'll try.
You ready?
Okay.
All right, Mason Rudolph was hurt earlier in the season with a really bad concussion, right?
Yes.
We're all on the same page with that.
Absolutely.
He is hit in the head with a helmet.
Yeah.
As a weapon in the head.
Yeah.
As a weapon, and yet is allowed to remain in the game to play. Why?
Bizarre to me.
Was he not taken out of the game for concussion protocol? And how is he not in concussion protocol this week?
I mean, the second part, I can only say because of, you know, he hasn't expressed any symptoms and he hasn't exhibited any signs and that his baselines are in check. I mean, the Steelers are obviously aware of his concussion history and they have a medical team and, you know, the University of Pittsburgh is where, you know, all these records are housed, and that's where guys go to find out, you know, guys who've had extreme cases where they missed multiple weeks, like a Jordan Reed, hey, am I going to get to play this year, or does it not look good? So, you know, that's all happening in their backyard. So the second part has to be because clearly they don't believe he has a concussion, and that's just You would seem to think he probably would, but his responds differently.
Yeah.
Why did you not just yank him out of the game? I have no idea. You know what I mean? I would have. I don't understand.
Sense,
I think would have been like, hey, let's just get him in the tent one way or the other, just in case. I'm with you. I mean,
or just get him off the field.
That's bizarre to me.
Was he checked for a concussion after getting hit by a helmet that knocked a guy out for the rest of the year? I mean, that's my biggest question. And look, I got to tell you, I hope Mason Rudolph plays every week because he was horrible last week. He was not good. As a Browns fan, I can tell you that. But I'm also concerned about the way the league looks at concussions. And concussion, let's be honest, that a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, the dangerous weapon stuff, is all based on concussions. And that's what scares the league to death because of the lawsuits. But yet, in an instance that was so hot like this, they didn't take 30 seconds to think about the athlete and give him a concussion test. Like,
no, I can't.
Very confusing.
I can't defend those actions. And that would be a case where you would think you get him off the field, you sit him down, and you know what I mean? You at least have a doctor, ask him a few questions, and take every precaution. I trust me, I'm with you.
Okay, cool.
Jason, while all this other stuff has been going on, Browns have won two straight games.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
They beat the Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they beat two teams who, you know, that those may turn out to that. Those were playoff games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For wild card tiebreakers, those were straight up playoff games.
Is Freddie Kitchens moving toward making sure he returns next year as head coach?
Yeah, I think that's to be determined. They won, but I mean, they lost arguably their best player for the season on appeal. We'll see where that goes. But, you know, the way they won and these continued issues, the schedule, we've been saying it all year, schedule gets better in the second half of the year, and there's some must-win games there. I thought Denver was a must-win game. They didn't get that one. They now have these two. They get another shot at Baltimore. They get another shot at Pittsburgh. He will have the opportunity to say, hey, first half of the season was rough. We were all figuring some things out. Everything went against us. But we got better as the season went along, and Baker got better as the season went along, and the offense got better as the season went along. And, you know, we learned from the horrible Myles Garrett incident, and we were not as penalized, you know, nearly as much down the stretch, and we were a smooth operation.
Jason, always a pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
You got it, guys.
Thanks,
my
Jason.
Pleasure.
Love the conversation. Love it.
Oh, nice. Oh. So did Fido.
Talk to you guys.
Bye, Jason. Oh, we needed to leave him.
He's
up
got
there.
The dog pound in the background.
I guess he does.
Yes, he does.
See, I guess he does love Cleveland. Don't you think?
Yes.
Jason LaCanfora joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.